What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This is the segment we would ordinarily do the audio blitz, and we will get to it here in just a couple of minutes. We got John Blau from the Post and Courier coming up here in about 40 minutes from right now to break down Clemson's big win over the number two Duke Blue Devils. I think that's a get you into the tournament caliber win, maybe even get you in as a single digit seed type of win. We'll get with John Blau in about 40 minutes, but P1 Armada Elitist Kane checked into the YouTube chat. And obviously Kane wasn't listening. No worries. It was very early in the morning, back towards the beginning of the show. Because Kane checked in on the stream and he said, kudos to you, Rob, for breaking down all the way the Eagles were going to win and picking the Chiefs to win. So no matter what happens, you're right the next day. You are a genius. Well, first off, I am. But Kane very clearly missed the segment that I did earlier in the show, and I'm going to do it again now because I want to. But I'll do the abbreviated version of it. That segment is this. I am real mad at myself.
You should have watched the first. He had graphs, and he did Venn diagrams.
Yep.
It was awesome.
Like I was given a Fortune 500 company merger presentation.
It was a TED Talk.
But I'm not going to.
Very inspirational.
I'm not going to break out all of the visual aids that I used back in hour number one. I'll just give you the nuts and bolts. The nuts and bolts is that last night Rob Brown went to bed very mad at himself. This morning Rob Brown woke up very mad at himself. Primarily not because I picked the Chiefs and I was wrong about it. That happens. But primarily because last night my phone went off, ping, and it said, the fan upstate has mentioned you in a tweet. And I went, okay, what's the tweet?
Ooh, was it from a Dallas Cowboys fan?
Show us.
Wow, so a Dallas Cowboys fan was talking about a team that he absolutely should hate because they're in his division and whips his butt all the time, and he was praising that team? Was it that who it was?
No. I mean, yes, that's who it was, but that's not what he was doing.
Yeah, that's absolutely what he was doing.
What our dear friend Cole Bryson, host of Wire to Wire.
Don't you defend him. Don't you do that. Come on.
What our dear friend Cole Bryson, host of Wire to Wire with Cole and Diesel, that airs every single afternoon from 3 to 7 right here on this fine, fine radio station, said in his tweet was, and I quote, I hate people who brag about being right. It's not cool. You shouldn't do it. I'm lying. I'm going to do it. The Rob Brown Show, Chiefs X. Lonzo on Word, Chiefs X. Diesel on Radio, Chiefs X. Yours truly, Eagles, check mark. I'll take my V-Fan Upstate flowers any way I can get them. Now, I am going to defend Cole Bryson because that is exactly what Rob Brown would do. And did, and has done, and remains doing. And when I get it right, you're going to know about it.
This is the thing. Act like you've been there before. I mean, act like you've been right before. This makes it look like you've never been right, and now you have to stand up and say, see, I was right. I mean,
that's the old.
I thought you were a Cowboys fan. How can you be excited about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
He's not. He's excited about him being the only person on this station who made the right pick, and that's what he did.
Wow. If I pick Denver to win the Super Bowl, and they do, and I hate Denver, I'm not going to gloat about it. I'm just like, okay, I was right. Let's move on.
Right, but you're the don't dance in the end zone, give the ball to the ref, and go back to the sideline guy. So some of us go,
unless you're a good unless you're a good dancer. I mean, there are some people that are really bad dancers.
And I am. So I am mad at myself, not because I was wrong, but because of why I was wrong. Because, as Kane has pointed out and is exactly correct in what happened, I spent last week going, the Eagles are better on paper. I spent last week going, here are the guys who are going to make the difference, and calling them out by name and nailing it. The only one that I did not say was going to be a huge difference maker was Jalen Hurts. But I called Milton and Josh Sweat. I called all the guys that stepped up. Cooper DeJean called all the guys that were going to step up last night and were going to have themselves a day. And I nailed it. And then I did something that in my years of broadcasting, I have regularly bragged about the fact that I don't do, which is I fell victim to a narrative. I fell victim to a narrative because, as I spent the last week telling you repeatedly, the Eagles can do this and win. The Eagles can do this and win. The Eagles can do this and win. I then repeated something that I heard a lot of big-time national talking heads say. And as somebody who has prided himself over the years on not buying into their narrative, I bought into the narrative, which was, don't bet against the Chiefs. I said last week, of the Chiefs Super Bowl teams, this is the least talented one. Of the Chiefs Super Bowl teams, this is the one I have the least faith in. Of the Eagles teams, this might be the best roster that we've seen constructed that nobody puts into that conversation in a very long time. They are more physically dominant than the Chiefs. They own the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. They've got the stars on the outside and the young talent on the inside. They've got dogs everywhere. On defense, this is the best version of the Eagles. I sat here and for segments last week listed all the reasons that I thought that the Eagles could beat the Chiefs. And every damn one of those reasons were the reasons the Eagles beat the Chiefs last night. But what did I do? What did I do? On Friday, after spending 4.89 days sitting here making argument after argument about why it was that the Eagles could beat the Chiefs, on Friday, when I spent the entire week saying, you know what, I'm not making my pick yet. I'm not making my pick yet. I want to really factor this in. I want to really get to all of it because I don't just have this show that I have to do. I got a national show on Saturday that I got to do. And I want to make sure that I give myself every opportunity to take in every bit of information to figure out who I want to pick. And I sat here and did segment after segment telling you why it was the Eagles could win. And then on Friday at about 9:42, when it came time to make it official and to go on the record, I went, but don't bet against the Chiefs. And I've said a gazillion times, I am never, and this is, you know, sometimes you got a mistake, you got to make a mistake. Sometimes you got to screw up. Sometimes you got to see yourself screw up. Sometimes you got to recognize it so that you can rededicate yourself to your game plan. Sometimes you got to miss a drive wide right and tell yourself, power down. Don't go out there and try to kill the golf ball. You know what your shot is, hit your shot. And I didn't hit my shot last week. I hit somebody else's shot. I fell in line with all the morons that said, don't bet against the Chiefs, when I should have followed myself and I should have said, you just listed 15 things that the Eagles do better than the Chiefs. Make your pick on the Eagles. And I talked myself out of it.
Wow. I don't want to be here for this. I mean, you made a pick. Your pick was wrong. I picked the Chiefs to win. The Chiefs didn't win. I'm the only one on this station who should be hurt by that. and I'm okay, but I'm not going to go back and go, well, you know, I saw all the, and I was nervous about the fact that this was this, and I knew the offensive line was this way, but I went anyway, and I shouldn't have went with the team. I mean, you made a pick and you were wrong. I mean, it happens. And I just go with what you did. I mean, you don't need to make an excuse for that.
It's not an excuse.
I really have a bigger problem with Cole. But you're starting to make me have a problem with you going back on. I mean, you made your pick. Let's move on. You were wrong, okay? The Chiefs let you down, Rob. You thought they were going to win. You made the pick, and you were wrong.
You made
bad picks before, and you ate Vegemite because of it. There are picks that you make. Did you go back and say, do all this stuff on that? No, you ate your Vegemite like a man and you moved on.
But I'll tell you, the issue here...
Rub some dirt on it. Get back in the game. Let's go.
The issue here isn't that I picked wrong, because I pick wrong all the time. All right, that's dramatic. I don't pick wrong all the time. I pick wrong some of the time. It's not that I picked wrong. This is one of those situations where it's not I'm mad that I got to pick wrong. You are correct. I host a gambling show every Saturday. I pick on that gambling show about 66-67% on my big money picks. That's pretty good rate. That's pretty good. That's an I know ball level of picking. All right? Pretty good. It is not that I picked wrong. It's how and why I picked wrong. It's not that I got it wrong or I had a bad read or, as we love to say in the gambling world, good read, bad result. Right read, wrong result.
Should I apologize to you for my team losing?
No. Again, okay, right. It's not about the loss. It's not about your team. This is about nothing but me. This is me about me.
Right. And you are in the majority who on the station who lost.
Right.
Only one person won. But and that was not you. That was not me.
That was
not Diesel. It was Cole. Cole won. Good for you, Cole.
There is nothing in the world that drives me more crazy than a missed opportunity. When you realize you've missed an opportunity. When that opportunity is gone. Just out of there. When I miss an opportunity, I beat myself up about it for a very long time. Because the reality is, you can work hard to generate opportunities. And I like to think that that is a trait of mine. That's why I work 27 jobs, because I genuinely believe you got to have your voice in the right time, the right day, in front of the right person. And you get your voice in front of the right guy, the right time, the right point of the day, whatever, and you say the right things, that opportunity presents itself and you've got an opportunity to do something special. That's what happened and how I got this job. That's what happened that created a world where I've been able to accomplish so much and do so much in my career. I had an opportunity to look like a genius, and I did. Because everything I said about the Eagles, I said correctly. Everything. What I could have done is had a bunch of social media clips that got sent out on the station's accounts and got sent out on the MGM Network's accounts and got sent out on the individual show accounts, because I labeled everything the Eagles could do to win the game. And then at the last minute, I let friggin' Dan Orlovsky and Colin Coward and all these people convince me that don't bet against the Chiefs is a good betting strategy. And I screwed the pooch. I missed an opportunity. And the only reason I'm upset at that, aside from the opportunity that I missed to have a bunch of clips of me being me going national today, is the fact that now I got to spend 4 hours this afternoon listening to Cole Bryson brag about it on the air. Ah!
You don't, though.
No, I do.
No,
I do.
No, you don't.
I've made the bed. I shall lie in it.
No, you don't. You don't actually have to listen to it. I think everyone else should, because it's an amazing show. But you particularly don't have to listen to it.
I need to be a better person, a better radio show host. I need to be a better
picker.
Are
you going to do this every time you're wrong?
Lonzo, have I done this every time I'm wrong? No.
But this might be your standard in 2025.
No, it's not.
That when you're wrong, you're going to do this every single
time.
There
is a difference between, hey, I picked wrong. I didn't even do this about the fact that last year, my lock of the day, of the month, of the year, of the century was for the Braves to hit their win total. I was on 100 shows and podcasts around the country telling everybody, it's the Braves year. Not a doubt in my brain, this team's too good. They got repeat all-stars all over the field. I was wrong about that pick, and I did not say a word about it. I said, hey, yeah, I got it wrong. It sucks. A lot of injuries, a lot of this, a lot of that, whatever it is, what it is. I was wrong on this one because I let outside factors influence me. That's why I was wrong. I let Rex Ryan influence me. That's not something I do. That's something I actively avoid.
All right, so
I let the haters on the outside get in my head.
That should embarrass you a little bit if you're influenced by Rex Ryan.
But it wasn't just Rex Ryan. It was the whole community of national talking
heads. Next thing you're going to say, you were influenced by Ryan Clark, and no one should ever say that on the air.
I don't know who Ryan Clark picked.
Influenced by Ryan Clark.
Was Ryan Clark spouting that you don't bet against the Chiefs?
Dude, I don't know. I don't pay attention to the
– I like Ryan Clark a lot, by the way.
Yeah, and I can't stand him. I like Ryan Clark. I mean, it makes sense.
It basically comes down to I let the outsiders influence me, and that's just a problem. That's problematic. I can't do that. All right. I'll tell you what I can do. Go to break, and when we come back here in just a minute from right now, we will run a bit of the audio blitz because boy, howdy, do I have quite a bit of sound from you over the weekend. We're going to get to some of it. Then we got John Blau with the Post and Courier coming on at 8:40 to talk about Clemson's big win over the Dukies. Good to see Dickie V back in the driver's seat, by the way. We'll talk to John Blau about that dub for Brad Brownell's Tigers and where he sees them in the march to the tourney. 9 o'clock, we'll finish up some audio blitz, and it is your show in the final hour of the show. Back after this, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John Blatt with the Post and Courier coming up in the next segment to talk Clemson Tiger basketball after a enormous home dub over the number two Duke Blue Devils. The MVP of that game is whatever trainer didn't mop the spot that Cooper Flagg took the spill on and had a travel turnover late in that game. But as the old expression goes, sometimes Cooper's butt bounces your way.
Yeah, don't imply that that was intentional. Cause, you know,
no, it obviously wasn't intentional.
Yeah, I mean, because nothing, you know, is rigged like that.
Not at all. It was a very fortuitous slip in favor of Clemson, but they still played a good enough game to make sure that it came down to that last second opportunity. So congrats to the Clemson basketball team. We are going to talk about that with, coming up in the next segment, John Blau of the Post and Courier. All right, let's get some sound in here before we get out of here for that segment of the show. I'm not going to lie, there's some sports stuff and there's a lot of weird stuff in this audio blitz today. Let's start with the president of NFL Club Business, International, and League Events, that is the full title of the office, of Peter O'Reilly. Peter O'Reilly was in New Orleans, Louisiana for the Super Bowl, and he said this. Heading to Melbourne, the Aussie, oi, oi, ois, are getting an NFL regular season game as two teams will fly this time literally to the opposite side of the globe, like literally on the opposite side of the globe to play an NFL game in 2026. I will start with a couple of things. Number one, I hope that they tell us more than a year out that this is happening, because I'll tell you right now, much as I have said I'm putting my fandom of the New Orleans Saints on the back burner for a little while, not because of the team, I'm used to them being bad, but because my ownership is corrupt and I genuinely dislike them as human beings because they're bad people at large. But if the Saints are heading down under, so that's my excuse to take the longest plane flight of my life, 100% flying to Australia if I get a Saints game in the middle of that trip. I'll go ahead and tell you now, I'm taking 2 weeks off around that game if it happens. All right, but we'll find out exactly where they are going to end up or who is going to end up heading to Australia. You know who had a spectacular Super Bowl week? Jameis Winston. Refollowing famous Jameis, because Fox basically said, hey, J-Mo, here's a television crew. Here's a microphone. Go have fun, buddy. They just turned this man loose in New Orleans, Louisiana, and Jameis Winston had the time of his life. But one clip in particular stood out to me. And it wasn't Jameis screaming standing next to Shad Khan's $31 billion mega yacht asking to touch it and nothing else. It wasn't.
Did he get to?
No, well, they cut away. I don't think he did. Oh, okay. I think straight up, I'm not kidding. I think the staff on Shad Khan's boat, because if you have a multi-billion dollar mega yacht, you have a staff. I think the staff ignored Jameis Winston straight up. It wasn't Jameis Winston driving a bike cart down Bourbon Street and, not a joke, running into a horse, which is a thing that happened.
All right, that's one I missed. I'm going to have to...
He literally ran into a horse. So up and down the French Quarter, there's carts with, you know, the cart on the back of a bike, and a guy sits on the front and he pedals you. And then they have horse-drawn carriages, and you can take a ride on.
It's like a more advanced rickshaw. Right?
Yes, it's like a bike rickshaw. A bike shaw. He's driving a bike shaw down the street, but he's trying to do it one-handed and also talk into a mic when he does it. And he like cuts to the left and he doesn't see that there's a horse and buggy driving by, and he just poof, right into the horse. And you hear Jameis from a distance go, "Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus!" It's hilarious, all right? It was Jameis Winston in a little bar at the end of Bourbon Street called Lafitte's. This is a... brick-and-mortar building that has been there, documented, since the mid-1700s. This is a building that, according to legend, was actually owned and run as a blacksmith shop by Jean Lafitte, the very famous pirate that made his home waters around New Orleans, Louisiana. Lafitte's has been in business for forever. It's one of the oldest active bars in America. And they sell, as every bar on Bourbon Street does, daiquiris. Jameis went in and got himself a purple daiquiri live on camera. Now, I'm not saying Jameis had already had a couple of purple daiquiris when he got a purple daiquiri live on camera. I'll let you make that determination. This purple drink is dank.
All right,
my dog, my right, guy.
So I have a problem with him as a child drinking grape with pickled pig's feet, because grape doesn't go well with pickles. I mean, the flavors, the two flavors do not mesh well.
I got another for you. I've never had a pickled pig's feet.
I had it once as a kid. So
my hot food take this morning, is that the only thing that's good pickled is pickles. Nothing else pickled is good. There's nothing else that's pickled that's good. The only thing that tastes good pickled is pickles. That's it. That's the whole list. That's the whole thing. Jameis had himself a week down in New Orleans, Louisiana. Two more from the Super Bowl lead up. You know, I said in the last segment, I gave all the reasons that Philadelphia beat Kansas City. And the thing that I'm most mad about is the fact that I gave you all the reasons that Philly could beat Kansas City. Philly did every one of those things in one, so therefore I should have picked Philly. It is what it is. I'm going to give you one more reason. I knew I should have picked Philadelphia to beat Kansas City. And that's Travis Kelce having a garbage New Orleans food take. Bad take, Travis.
All right, here's the thing. If you Bad listen take. To his podcast, he doesn't like anything food-wise. It has nothing to do with New Orleans. He will not eat mayonnaise or anything that's white sauce. There's a ton of things that he talks about he will not eat, while his brother will eat everything, including he ate a crawfish by sucking the head of the crawfish.
As one does.
Yeah, which is...
suck the head, pinch the tail.
Which is weird. That's very weird. Strange.
That's a lot of juices.
Yeah, back in the day, like a long time ago, someone picked a crawfish up and went... let me eat it this way. I mean, you just suddenly decided.
For the record, real quick, let me make this clear. You don't eat the head.
No. There's nothing in the head. I get what you're saying.
The head.
Okay. All right. Fine. But someone had to do that for the first time. And what made them want to do that for the first time?
I can tell you. As a seasoned crawfish eating veteran, I can tell you the answer to that. The answer to that is when you pop that crawfish open, all right, and you look down in there. The head of that crawfish is an open cavity. And when you look down in there, you can see the juice down in there. And that juice, because it's sitting in that boiling water, and you got all that spice and everything in there.
So it's just soup.
I mean, in the head of the crawfish, it's the juice from the boil.
Which is soup. I mean, so it's been in hot water with the spices and everything.
I mean, I guess if you want to call it hot crawfish soup.
So you're just... eating soup out of an animal's head.
Listen, baby. Listen. Let me tell you. You're sucking the juice out. That's where the spice is. That's where the good stuff is. So you suck that head. Then you pinch that meat up out that tail. Pop it in there. You let it mix together. Mmm, boy.
Yeah. And I also agree with Travis on something else. And I've talked about it before, like crab legs and stuff. If you have to do a bunch of work to get to the food, I didn't go to a restaurant for that. You do the work for me. I'm not there to go, oh, give me something to break this apart. No, thank you.
You know, there's a lot of food takes that you're going to have that I'm going to push back. I'm going to go, no, you're wrong about that. There's a lot of food takes. I'm going to go, that's a garbage food take. You need to reevaluate your life. I'm not going to do it for that one. You want to know why? It's not because you're wrong, because you're wrong. You're very, very wrong. I'm not going to do it, Lonzo, because if we go to a crab boil, we go to a seafood boil, we go to a crawfish boil, whatever, and they bring some to you and you go, I ain't doing the work, you know what that means? More for me.
Uh-huh.
More for me.
You go to eat like 35
more for
legs
me.
To get the equivalent of a chicken breast. No, thank you.
I do want to be very clear, buddy. I do want to be very clear about this. The point of a seafood boil, this is why a lot of people get it wrong. People think you go into a seafood boil for the seafood. You're not. That's not why you go to a boil. You go to a boil because it's a social gathering. You go to a boil to stand around and drink cold beer and eat good food and talk and socialize and fellowship and spend time with other humans as a human. You go to a boil for the people. The food's just a benefit.
It's a crawfish.
The food is something to do while you talk.
Is it a fish or a bug? Is it more a bug?
Technically, it's a bug.
Yeah, so let's gather together and eat bugs' heads. Or I'm sorry, not eat bugs' heads, lick bugs' heads.
No, you don't lick the bug head. You suck the head.
Yeah.
Then you pinch the
tail. See, I'm not saying that. So, but you.
Why? That's what you do.
Because I'm not doing
that. Will
you
say suck a straw?
No. No, I would not.
Dan Orlovsky was down there, too. He had himself a food experience as well. Dan Orlovsky's experience eating frog leg for the first time, which I will also tell you, not only does indeed taste like chicken, it's also bleeping delicious.
It does. I have had frog's legs, and they were homemade frog's legs. I mean, one of my friend's moms made them. She didn't make the frogs. I don't know that she gigged the frogs, but she took the cut. She prepared the legs. They were good.
A well-cooked frog leg. I'm not kidding you. A well-cooked frog leg goes right up there with chicken wings for me. If I go to somebody's Super Bowl party and they're like, hey, we don't have chicken wings, but I got some frog legs, I'm all in, boy. I'm all in on some frog leg. I love a frog leg. So, Dan Orlovsky, by the way, did you hear? I love it. You hear the shift. He starts, yeah, Jameis out here going, oh, Lord Jesus. And then you got Dan Orlovsky. Jesus was dealing with a lot of people encountering stuff in New Orleans this weekend, because Orlovsky was holding the frog up, about to take a bite, and he goes, dear Father in heaven. Like, he was praying that this frog leg, I guess, wasn't going to attack him or something. I don't really know.
Well,
but
maybe,
Orlovsky bit into that thing, and you could see the revelation that, and it's pretty good.
He was praying he wouldn't throw up.
I guess.
Yeah, that's
television.
I don't think he thought he was going to die. I think he just didn't want to puke.
That is the nightmare. That is the nightmare. So good on Dan Orlovsky giving something a shot there. I think we got time to get one more in here real quick. Do you know how I know that Jerry Jones and the Cowboys are in trouble? When Emmett Bleeping Smith, who is a media hermit by and large, decides Super Bowl weekend he needs to grab a mic and go in on this team. When Troy is out, when Emmett is out, and not just out, remember, again, Emmett Smith has avoided, by and large, doing media for a very long time, came out from the shadows to criticize his team. I think the only one of the triplets that hasn't really gotten out yet is Michael Irvin, but that's only because he's the last Cowboys defender, so he's going to die on that hill. When even Emmett Smith comes out and goes, we're done, we're cooked, I'm out. Good luck. However, he did give us a wonderful new clip. Wonderful new clip that I'm here for. John Blau with the Post and Courier joins us next to talk Clemson shooty hoops on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Tis a good morning indeed. Especially if you are a Philadelphia Eagles fan. A pair of Clemson Tigers showing up last night on the box sheet as Jeremiah Trotter Jr. had a couple of tackles in that game. Will Shipley got onto the stat sheet with a kick return. Good day to have a couple of Tigers represented in the big game TM as well to talk Clemson Athletics, joining us here on the show as he does every Monday at 8:40 a.m., a young man who covers the Clemson Athletic Department for the Post and Courier, the legendary John Blau, joining us here on the show. John, what's up, big dog? Happy Monday. How we feeling, big fella?
Feeling pretty good. How you, Rob?
I'm real well. Real well, bud. You stay up? Are you a late night to finish the Super Bowl guy, or do you call it early and catch it in the morning?
Depends who's playing. I mean, I grew up in South Jersey, so I'm actually an Eagles fan. So I was going to stay up and watch the conclusion of that one with some friends. And so, yeah, if it was some other team, maybe I wouldn't even watch at all. But I was definitely watching the entirety of this game.
Well, congrats on your another Lombardi in the trophy case for Philadelphia. And we are going to talk Clemson basketball with a big win over Duke here in a minute here, but. The Jalen Hurts Bleep You America Tour made a stop in New Orleans last night, and I don't know why, I love this kid. I am super pumped that Jalen Hurts was able to kind of give the old bird back to the national heads who said he would be the reason Philly could not beat Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, he's had an interesting career, obviously starting at Alabama, having, you know, Tunga Vailoa taking over for him, him going to Oklahoma, and then obviously he was in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and had a pretty good game, but obviously couldn't pull it out. And for him to play the way he did, I mean, nearly perfect, other than that one interception, he's obviously overcome, like you said, some of the haters, some of the adversity, and it's obviously definitely a meaningful win for a guy like that, for sure.
We talked a little bit a couple of weeks ago in the NFC Championship game because Will Shipley got in late, had a big, long tutty run that Saquon Barkley gave him a name drop in his postgame presser. Last night, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. got out there, had a couple of big tackles on a Philly defense that was just dominant start to finish. A couple of Clemson guys getting onto the stat sheet last night. I'm sure that Dabo was happy to see that, especially considering – I don't know that there's a better recruiting chip out there for the top-level guys than we got a couple of boys who are making their names in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the careers of a Will Shipley and a Jeremiah Trotter Jr., that they were during that three-year period where Clemson didn't make the playoff, which is obviously was a disappointment for the program, not something they were used to, and for them and their rookie seasons in the NFL to win the entire thing. That's a heck of a story, and obviously they're each a story in themselves. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., obviously the son of Jeremiah Trotter, and I think everybody keeps circulating that picture of Jeremiah when he was just a little baby being in his dad's arms, you know, after they win an NFC championship. And I think I saw post-game that literally him and dad, they stole the Lombardi trophy so they could go around doing post-game interviews. And so obviously huge for them. And Will Shipley, obviously the former five-star recruit, obviously gave everything to Clemson. Just, again, just couldn't get over the hump getting in the playoff for him to be able to get that, have a kick return. You know, I think he had a tackle on special teams too for those guys to show up in that game. It's absolutely huge for Clemson. Like you said, to kind of reiterate to recruits, we develop talent, we get them to the NFL, and they achieve at the highest level.
Without a doubt. John Blau from the Post and Courier joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate, talking a little college basketball now for the Clemson Tigers. And I think we gotta go back, John Blau, and talk about this win at home, 77-71 over the Blue Devils. Clemson able to kind of run away there late after Cooper Flagg took a spill and got called for a traveling, turned the ball over. Clemson was able to really kind of ice it after that. Let's start with the 36,000-foot view on this game. This is one of those quadrant one wins that I think Clemson was kind of lacking. I have blamed it on the ACC as a conference being down. There's just not as many opportunities for those quad one wins as there have been in years gone by. So this game, to me, not just the result, the game itself, but certainly with that dub, to me, Clemson's got to be a tournament team after this win.
Yeah, because especially look at the couple of quadrant one wins that they have. I mean, they beat Kentucky on their home floor, which was a top five team at the time. and you beat now number two Duke on your home floor, to have two top five wins in a season, you've absolutely proved it's not a fluke. I mean, that when you play up to your best level, you can beat anybody in the country. And they showed that again, this past weekend. And Victor Locken was absolutely insane. I mean, 9 of 12 from the floor. I mean, just a completely different team when he's on the floor, when he's not on the floor. Obviously, the loss to Georgia Tech, he was in foul trouble. They only had him for about 16 minutes of a 55-minute game. But he has 22 points against Duke. I mean, they were really able to, take advantage of the space that Duke's kind of perimeter-oriented defense gives you. And Chase Hunter has some big buckets at the end of the game. You know, didn't have his best game, but at the end of the game, driving to the rim, getting a go-ahead bucket, and just overall, just the defense they were able to employ on Cooper Flagg. I mean, he went off late, but I mean, for most of that game, he was pretty just, MIA. They were really able to shut him down, which is quite a statement. So yeah, I mean, I think Clemson again proved they can beat quality elite teams with elite players, because they got a pretty well-rounded lineup. When that lineup's intact and they're all playing well.
John Bilal joining us here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. What was the difference to you in that loss to Georgia Tech? Because it was a bit of a head scratcher. Tech's not a bad team, but they ain't Duke. So what was the difference in that loss to the Wreck in Atlanta to then turn around and to beat a genuine Final Four threat in Duke the very next game?
Yeah, again, I think Victor Locke is just so important because they don't really have another center. I mean, Christian Reeves, the transfer from Duke, I mean, he's really just a developing guy, not quite ready for long, stretches of minutes, and they had to play Ian Shefflin at the five, who's undersized to play that. They got ravaged on the defensive boards. I mean, Georgia Tech had 24 offensive rebounds. I mean, you just can't allow that number of second chance opportunities in a game that you had a chance to win in regulation and in overtime number one and overtime number two. I mean, the number of second chance points Georgia Tech was able to get, I mean, that's basically the difference right there. So they absolutely did a much better job against Duke on the boards. I think they won. I think it was 36 to 23, I think, on the boards. And I think it was 11 to 8 advantage on the offensive rebound. So, that is probably the biggest key. And again, Chase Hunter, I think, making shots. I mean, he missed some shots in that Georgia Tech game. Obviously, everybody's griping about the three-pointers he took at the end of those periods. But, he's made those shots more often than he hasn't. So, I go back to Lockhart. I go back to the rebounding. And I feel like they cleaned that up big time against Duke to win that game.
Is that going to be something you expect to see consistently? I mean, obviously, we kind of know Brad Brownell's a dude that is going to come in and work on polishing every single week. How do they, A, make sure that becomes the image of this team, and B, was there a game plan to kind of protect Victor around the rim? Maybe not allow so many guys to drive into his chest and draw contact. Was that part of what Clemson adapted to in this game?
Yeah, I don't know if it's as much as that with Victor as it's just the silly fouls. I mean, Brad Brownell was talking about it post-game. I mean, there was one foul, for instance, that Victor got against Duke where he turned the ball over at the top of the key. He was frustrated. He goes and dives for the ball and absolutely, almost tackles the other guy and then ends up picking up on the foul. And those are the fouls that, Brownell has talked with Locken about, just kind of, when he's within himself and he's not playing out of control, he's a very good player and he doesn't get into foul trouble. When he is out of control and kind of just starting to take swipes at people because he's getting frustrated or he's not quite in the right position, that's when he gets into trouble. So I don't know if it's as much about protecting him as him just protecting himself. He seems to have that ability to not draw fouls, be pretty straight up when guys make contact at the rim. So I think that's a big deal. And then, other guys just have to take up the slack in terms of the rebounding department as well. Chauncey Wiggins, for instance, is a guy that, Brad Brownell's been harping on for years, trying to get this 6'10 guy to rebound a little bit better. I know he was actually under the weather for most of the week leading into the Duke game, so maybe didn't get that production there, but that's certainly something they're going to be harping on for the rest of the season with Chauncey Wiggins.
So talk to me a little bit about Brad Brunell, because, you know, I got a text from a buddy of mine after that win over Duke that said losing to Tech and then turn around and beating the number two team in the country is like the most Brad Brunell thing that could happen. And I really kind of looked at it as like, what a microcosm for this career. John Blau, when I moved here in 2020, one of the segments I was asked to do as an audition was to evaluate Brad Brunell as the coach and ask, is it time for Clemson to move on? That was 5 years ago. Since then, multiple tournament runs, an Elite Eight run, a team that's beaten this number two Blue Devil team, but there just always seems to be those little hiccups. Was that Georgia Tech loss, hey, it's college basketball, everybody's going to lose a couple? Or was that kind of that kick in the butt moment that this basketball team maybe needed as we get closer to the ACC tournament?
Yeah, I mean, just the way they played this year, though, I don't know if this is much, you know, Brad Brunell, chink in the armor type deal, as, like you said, just kind of that's basketball. I mean, every now and again, you're just going to not play as well, and you're going to maybe not hit certain shots that you have hit. So I guess beating Duke the next, few days later, I think that kind of, you know, shows you that this isn't a team that's as susceptible as, you know, others. Obviously, in the non-conference, they lose a couple of really tight games, South Carolina and Memphis, too. But I think overall, when you're looking at it, Brad Brunell's career, it's Clemson. I mean, he's not going to be able to recruit the 4 and 5 stars that some of these elite programs are able to recruit. I mean, he's developing talent. I mean, that's what he has to do. And sometimes there's going to be growing pains for certain players, like a Chase Hunter or Hunter Tyson, a P.J. Hall, those guys. Obviously, P.J. Hall is a higher ranked recruit, but, you know, there's been ups and downs for those guys, and you're kind of wading through those. And obviously, it also integrating a lot of pieces from the transfer portal. I mean, he's not, you know, he's kind of closing the gap there by being able to recruit some guys from the portal, but then you got to mix all that talent together. So I think he works with, a set of circumstances that not every coach in the country does. And sometimes, you know, I don't know if that's as much about Brad Brunell and him as a coach as it is just about the program and the realities that he's living with. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time, or sometimes there's down moments just because the talent gap between him and other schools isn't that great. So, I guess I have this. That's a long way of saying I think Brunell's pretty good. At getting the level of recruits that he can at Clemson, getting what he can from the transfer portal, melding it all together. I just think sometimes there's going to be hiccups, and there haven't been as many of those, I would say, this season for Clemson.
I think that's fair. Last one, then we'll let you go. John Blau, obviously coming up next this evening, a quick turnaround. This team back home to take on North Carolina. It's a short rest game, John Blau, but I would make the argument, even with Carolina being down, even with them not having the season that they were hoping to have, this game tonight feels like it could be the exclamation point game for Clemson. There's really not much left in terms of big name teams. That roadie to SMU could be interesting. Maybe a February 5th matchup on the road in Tallahassee could be interesting. But if the Clemson Tigers want to put an exclamation point on the season, doing so by putting away North Carolina tonight, I think, would go a long way in capping that resume.
Yeah, I mean, Brad Brunell said it after the game. I mean, this is validating the win against Duke is to beat North Carolina. It's kind of, you compared it to an NCAA tournament type of setup where you have a big win, now you have to go get another one. And so, obviously, talking about the narratives of Brad Brunell's career, I mean, if they were to, you know, have a sandwich of losing to Georgia Tech and UNC between that being the win over Duke, I mean, that wouldn't look as good, obviously. And so I think you want to, like you said, validate things. You want to come out and continue to build positive momentum as you go down the stretch of the season. Like you said, not a lot of other quad one opportunities. You got to kind of seize the moment while you can. And so I think this should be a very focused team coming out tonight, knowing kind of the stakes of this game. Obviously, RJ Davis and UNC at any given moment can have a game that gives you trouble. But I think Clemson, obviously, this is a very big one for them as well. So we'll see if they come out and they can kind of take care of business, so to speak.
John Blau covers the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier, joins us every single Monday at 8:40 to break down Clemson athletics. My man, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for doing this the morning after Super Bowl. Congrats on the Lombardi. Go enjoy it, big fella.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau. You can follow him on X at John Blau, J-O-N underscore B-L-A-U. Check out his stuff if you're a Clemson fan. Nowhere else to get your info than John Blau. Let's take a break. When we come back, 9 o'clock hour belongs to you, my friends. We will take your phone calls, your texts, your tweets, and more. Before we do any of that, though, Lonzo is about to show you why if there was a tournament of sports flashers, he's a one seed.
Yeah, I don't know.
How
many trench coats were being at? The three-peat remains a dream as the Philadelphia Eagles became NFL champions last night with a 40-22 win over the Kansas City Chiefs. The evil reign is over. Rejoice, all you rigged people. Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts was named MVP with a 17-22 two touchdown and one interception performance that included a rushing touchdown. Saquon Barkley had 25 carries for 57 yards, while the Eagles held the Chiefs to just 49 total rushing yards. Patrick Mahomes recorded 257 yards and three touchdowns, but was picked off twice. South Carolina women's basketball team saw their 57-game conference win streak come to an end with a 66-62 loss to number 4 Texas in Austin. The Longhorns avenged a loss earlier in the season to create a three-way tie atop the SEC standings with South Carolina, Texas, and LSU.